Let's move on to signatures on the listing agreements. Typically, the listing agreements are electronically transmitted to a broker, and the broker signs the agreement. However, there's usually not a live signature on the listing agreement from the asset manager. What kind of pitfalls do we deal with when we don't have live signatures on listing agreements?
Let me just go ahead and answer that one, Frank. As long as there is a list letter that spells out the terms of the listing, that is attached to the ER in my broker file. So it pretty much spells out exactly what I can do. But remember that the terms that are in the list letter, in the listing agreement, and the master listing agreement prevail over everything from armless. So, once again, this is a completely, as Rick said, this is a completely different animal, and you have to be aware that at every point in the transaction, whether it's from the moment that you're assigned a listing to the time that you close the listing, there are different documents that have to be a part of the broker file, and that you, as the broker, have to read and understand what your liability is. So, just to answer the question very quickly, none of the ER or the profile sheets are signed by our lenders. We act on the instructions that are in the list letter.
And Rick, any pitfalls on no live signatures, or are the listing agreements adequate when they're electronically transferred?
A couple things. If there is a signature, although not live, in other words, you don't have the blue ink, that's going to suffice. The pitfall is potentially this. If there's not a signed listing, the lender does not have a contractual obligation to actually pay it if the agent performs it. The statute of frauds requires several things to be in writing and signed by the party to be charged. Real estate purchase contract is one. Listing agreement is other. There are several more. So there is an outside possibility. Hopefully this doesn't happen because banks want relationships with agents. But there is the outside possibility that if the listing is not signed, there's no contractual obligation on behalf of the bank or the REO asset manager to pay the commission. So you're kind of flying without a net, so to speak, if you're an agent. My take is different. If there's an electronic signature, if there's a copy of a signature, if there's an initial, if there's something suggesting that these folks have agreed to be bound and it's in writing by some sort of mark, it's probably going to be enforceable. But if you don't have a signed listing from your asset manager or the bank itself, there's a real possibility that, well, the law is you don't have to get a commission. You're not entitled contractually to commission. Hopefully the bank will pay it. I haven't heard of a bank standing an agent on their head, but they sure have the ability to unless there is a signed listing.
Yeah, and I think the list letter that is sent from the lender, of course, that is signed. The only thing that is not signed will be your ER and your profile sheet, the armless forms.
So if you have a list letter that defines the terms of what you're going to do and that's signed, even if it's a copy of a signature or even if it's the initial, you should have an enforceable agreement.
What about reimbursement for repairs? Agents many times are asked to put out money for repairs, and have we heard in the industry at all that there are difficulties in being reimbursed for repairs?
But Holly probably didn't have this problem because she runs such a tight ship. Yes, especially Freddie and Fannie are very tight on their time frames. And effectively, if you don't get your invoices submitted within some or 2 weeks, some or 30 days, even if you've advanced monies, and some people with 50 listings have six figures out. I mean, they have a bunch of money out. They won't pay you. It's like you didn't do the work. It doesn't matter. The rules are the rules, and the people that are paying the bills, if you're late, they won't get you paid. So one of the keys in my mind, because nobody wants to work for free, one of the keys in my mind if you're doing the REO sales is make sure you get your invoices submitted consistent with the listing agreement, whatever that is. If it's a week, do it in a week. If it's 30 days, do it in 30 days. But you have to make sure you get the submissions made or you're going to work for free or work for, you know, you're going to pay somebody for the privilege of doing their listings and REO sales.
I've also heard some stories where agents have come up with some fraudulent billings and submitted that. And so you as the broker need to, you know, be aware of what your agents are doing and that it's legitimate, you know, legitimate billings. because if the agents are billing and taking monies that aren't due them, you know, you're probably going to be on the hook for that. And these listing agreements are also asking you to carry a crime or fidelity policy, which is actually if you or your employees steal money that's theirs, that you have to carry an insurance policy, the crime or fidelity bond for that. So you need to make sure you have that in place in your insurance portfolio based on the requirements in the listing agreement. The biggest issue with regards to the fidelity or crime policy is that it's going to cover the firm and their employees if they steal money. However, an agent typically is an independent contractor, so there's some issues there if that fidelity bond would extend to the agent that might steal some money that's not theirs. So that's one of the things you need to also look into in your insurance portfolio and reviewing that with your broker to make sure if the agent steals the money. Otherwise, you're going to be on the hook for it. And I have some DBs that are trying to come up with money that their agents took off with, and they're responsible for that. So.
And this might be pie in the sky. I don't know if this is practical. Maybe Holly can tell us. But if someone asked me how they should run it, my preference is that all the reimbursements come through the brokerage firm, so the brokerage firm can have the checks and balances and make sure it's taken care of. Big brokerage firms or brokerage firms with a ton of REOs, that might not work, practically speaking. But if you want to guarantee that the reimbursements, number one, are made timely, and the requests are made timely, number two, the agents aren't scuttling their money to make the mortgage payment because it is tough out there right now, the better way to do it is come through the brokerage firm. I don't know if that's practical or not. Is that something you do, Holly?
That's something that's always been done.
Yeah.
When I was an agent way back in the old ages, my broker still agreed to handle all of the billing. And that just really protects everybody. So my broker knew exactly what I was doing, how much money was being expended, that I had lien waivers when I needed them. Because this is another thing that has come up lately, and that's the issue of the property going to closing, and then the bank finding out that there's a lien waiver that's been placed on the property because of an action of the agent. And this has been huge. So what I do is anything over $500 that I write a check for, that has to have a lien waiver. And it has to be notarized. And I actually send the lien waiver along with the bill to my lender so that they know that we're covering them and ourselves.
And Lisa, thanks for bringing up the fraudulent invoice issues, because not only is that a civil issue, but it's also a crime. And when agents are acting effectively as property managers, because you brought up that anyone acting in the REO world may be a property manager, and so when you're acting as a property manager, you actually are held to a higher standard as far as the accountability for monies. And we all think that these banks don't watch the invoices and things, but I know from experience that they look down to the final dollar of any late fee that may have been on a bill or something that an agent submitted that they had to subtract.
And, you know, Frank, I think the one thing, because you do REO also, and I know that you do your own billing. So there are a lot of brokers out there that, once again, you don't know that you've got the risk. You don't know what you don't know. And it's really so important for you to know what your agents are doing with regards to these properties and the property preservation, not only from an E&O standpoint, but also the liability standpoint. So I think it's very important if they don't pay the bills through the company, and you do allow your agents to pay the bills and be reimbursed by the lenders, that you know what they're doing and ask for an accounting.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that also comes up is we have a lot of REO preservation companies now because times are tough and real estate agents are getting into trashing out properties and doing things like that. And they're offering referral fees to agents who handle REO accounts. And, again, technically, without those being disclosed, I think probably there's some ticks with those types of fees that are going back and forth. Let's talk about properties that are occupied.